The academic year is quickly drawing to a close around the region. Some of the first high school graduations of the year come in just 3 weeks. Students at all levels have been working very hard, some of them, to finish up major projects and research. Their efforts will be noticed by classmates and teachers, but what about the rest of the world? Well, the rest of the world gets a chance to see the accomplishments at Southern Oregon University next week at SOAR, which stands for Southern Oregon Arts and Research. We have two guests with us to talk about that. Mindy Nagel is a Southern Oregon University student graduating in June with a degree in English, but apparently continuing your studies as well. We can get to that. Mindy, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi.
It's good to have you here. Phila Winfrey is along with us as well. Once again, she's the Outreach and Support Specialist at the Southern Oregon University Hannon Library. Phila, welcome back.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you both here. Give us some idea of the general run of SOAR and what it is.
I guess that's me. It's a conference, first and foremost, but it's not a traditional conference. It's not purely about academic papers. It's a lot more than that. It's people reporting on community projects that they've been doing. There's a lot of performances, there's a lot of art, there's a lot of live demonstrations of computer works and a variety of things that, frankly, you don't see anywhere else on campus any other time of year.
So it's a real chance to do some mingling, not just with the other parts of campus, but also with the rest of the world to see, hey, this is what we've been up to all year.
Oh, yeah. I'm even surprised to discover just how much our students are doing in the community. I mean, reading through all of these projects and presentations, it's astonishing to figure out just how widespread our students are getting into this region.
So, Mindy, let's talk about what you've been doing. You're on your way to an English degree, so is there some major project that you are bringing into SOAR next week?
Yeah, I'm a professional writing major, and along with the SOAR community engagement, my big project is just the culmination of my capstone research, which was writing two grants for the Madrone Trail Public Charter School. I wrote one for a landscaping project and one for a painting project. And also I'm making a training manual for them so that any parent at the school can read my manual and then write a grant for themselves.
Really? So not just doing this yourself for the first time, but paving the way for other people to follow behind you and do the same
sort
of thing.
Yeah, so that when my kid is out of the school, you know, other people can get grants without me.
Do you have a child in the school at Madrone Trail?
I do, yeah. She's in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you've got an iron in this fire in a different way as well.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Tell us about the process of learning how to write a grant. I mean, I've met a few people along the years. We talked to a fair number of nonprofits and the like. We talked to lots of people who've gone about writing grant applications. How detailed a process can it be?
It's very detailed. I will say that there's no way I could have written any of these grants without an awesome class I took here at SOU with Ed Battistella. It's a grant writing class, and I learned everything in there. And a great thing about that class is that he has guests from the community, from these foundations, come and talk to us and tell us what they want to see in their grants. So we're actually trained by them to write grants for them.
Ed Battistella, the name you mentioned, not just a Southern Oregon University professor, but a published author as well, as many of them are. And he joined us not terribly long ago to talk about his book about apologies and sometimes lousy ones called I'm Sorry, which raises the question, I guess, now that I think about it, if there's a certain level of, you know, I'm sorry to be asking for this money, if any of that goes into the grant writing process, too.
Not with me. My grants are concise, cogent. I ask for what I want. I make sure to be thankful, and I feel that I don't write a grant proposal for a project that I don't believe in, so I think that really comes through in my proposals.
So for the folks who don't know the Madrone Trail Charter School, fill us in a bit. I mean, tell us about the school and what appealed to you enough to put your own daughter in there and what you were looking for in the way of grants to fund.
Well, the Madrone Trail Public Charter School is a Waldorf-inspired public charter school. It's been around since, I believe, 2007, and they just are really more interested in educating the whole child, which is what I wanted for my daughter. She was homeschooled before that, and they are really big on arts, handwork, mythology. They do all the regular curriculum, and then they also add in all these things that kids just aren't getting at many public schools anymore. And also outdoor time is really important to the Waldorf curriculum. So we're doing the landscaping and the painting just to kind of beautify our outdoor area so we can have more people from the community come to our events and the children just have a safe space that they can be proud of.
Was it a tough transition for you to decide to put a child in school when you had been homeschooling it yourself?
Not as a full-time worker, full-time student, and full-time parent. I was pretty happy to get her in there.
Tell us about the process then of, first of all, how big does any grant application package end up? I mean, I've heard about things running to many, many pages. And do you have to pitch them a little differently depending on the desires of the foundations providing the money?
I think so, depending. I've worked mostly with the West Family Foundation with my proposals for Madrone Trail. And they're really into helping education, helping schools, helping them get the things they need. And we just write our proposals, you know, for them, just demonstrating what we need and how they can help us.
We're talking about SOAR, Southern Oregon Arts and Research, and the people showing off their stuff next week at Southern Oregon University. Mindy Nagel's a Southern Oregon University student, graduating in June, but taking more classes. We will ask about that. Phila Winfrey is an outreach and support specialist as well at the Southern Oregon University Hannon Library. Join us if you'd like, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You can see the gaggle of people that Mindy and Phila brought with them today on our Facebook page as well. So what will you be displaying something next week at SOAR or doing a demonstration of some sort?
I will. I'll be participating in the poster session, and my poster will just kind of show a little bit about both of those grants and a little bit about what we're doing at Madrone Trail right now, just so that people from the community can come in and chat with me about what we've been doing and hopefully kind of outreach to the rest of the community the cool things that we've done and where we're going from there.
We'd mentioned that you are walking at the graduation ceremony in June, mm-hmm. for Southern Oregon University, but it's still continuing in some capacity?
I'm taking a couple classes in the fall to finish up, and I'm hoping to pick up another certificate in nonprofit management.
Okay, so you've been busy for quite some time now. So given that you've got a daughter in school, so did you take a little college, start your family, then come back to college? Is that the way it worked?
I actually started after she was born, and I went part-time until I came here to SOU from Ohio, and I've now been going full-time, and I'm going to finally finish, which is pretty exciting.
I was going to ask how that feeling
is.
Yeah. Pretty good. Phila Winfrey, fill us in about some of the other things that go on at SOAR next week. I mean, it's more than posters. There are some fairly large-scale sorts of demonstrations. Give us a few items to talk about here.
Well, things start off Monday with opening ceremonies, and it's going to be largely a day of performances from student groups and a few, you know, receptions, parties thrown in. And then things get a little bit more serious with some of the academic works. Tuesday, for instance, is showcase for university seminar and the houses that the university has implemented recently. So those students are going to have a chance to show off some of the work that they've been doing. And then also on Tuesday, I was really excited, we have the student club crawl, yet again, started this last year.
Club crawl, you
club
said.
Crawl.
Not pub
yes.
crawl. I want to be clear on that
yeah.
one.
And it is student clubs here at SOU, and they're going to fill the main walk through campus with tables and just demonstrate some of the work that the clubs here on campus do. So again, it's not just the things that are happening in classrooms. It's all the things that students do here at SOU, student life included.
And so, Mindy, what's the general feeling about not only reaching a level of accomplishment in what you set out to do, but also getting a chance to stretch your stuff, as it were, at SOAR?
Well, for me, I think SOAR is of the utmost importance because as a professional writing major, community engagement is kind of what I do all the time. And for me, it's the only opportunity I really have to share my research and get feedback from the community, other than our academic community, which is great, but a lot of, you know, regular people come to SOAR and just different people that I get to just make these important issues known to. I get feedback from them, and it's just been really helpful for me with future proposals.
Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to ask then, and now I will, about the professional writing and how that differs from other sorts of concentrations on writing within the English major.
Well, the big difference is that what I would say is that professional writers are writers that get jobs and things other than English degrees. You know, we're nonprofit specialists, we're development people, we work for foundations, we're technical writers, some of us are even novel writers. It's just a really big umbrella for a lot of things other than English teachers.
All right, but it sounds like a lot of it is focused on the kinds of things like grant writing where the writing really has a purpose, to communicate mm-hmm. a desire or wish to somebody else who then can help you along with that.
Yeah, it's very technical writing, and one of the things that we get trained on is how to write different things for different situations.
which then figures into the writing of the manual to help other people learn how to write grants behind you. And how tricky, I think a lot of people might think, well, so why? You say you do this and then you do this, but it's a bit more detailed than that. I know my sister's a professional writer too.
It is a bit more detailed than that. I think a really important thing for people to know about grant proposal writing is just learning the basics, like the boilerplate language. Every institution has a couple different blurbs that they use, and they work those into different proposals in different ways. And really, more than the writing, a lot of it is learning how to compile the information and just get it across in a succinct way so that you're not going on for 30 pages.
Organization.
Yep.
Organization and brevity. Is brevity important in something like writing grants? I mean, you have a lot of questions to answer, I would think, in the process of writing a grant proposal.
You do. You have a lot of questions to answer and a very limited space to answer them in. A lot of the proposals are online now, and you only have a certain amount of characters. So some of these, you know, you're explaining a year-long project in 250 characters or less. So it gets a little tricky.
I was going to ask if the world of texting and Twitter helps a lot with grant applications these days.
Not yet. We're not using LOL in grant applications yet, but maybe next year.
So how much money came in from the grant for the proposals you wrote for the Madrone Trail Charter School?
The one for the painting project was for about $8,000, and the landscaping one that we are in the decision round for right now is for about $95,000.
Mm-hmm. So not insignificant bits of money,
mm-hmm.
bits and pieces here and there. What does it feel like when you write a grant proposal and you get the information? First of all, how do you get it, and what was that like?
Well, I get the information from a lot of places.
How'd you get the notification about being awarded the grant?
Oh, well, I do it all, and then the secretary at the school actually gets the notification, and then she lets me know, and we all scream and jump, and it's great.
Screaming and jumping is about what I figured there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, congratulations on that. And
Thank you. When did you
find out about that first grant coming through?
That one I did last year as a project for another one of Ed's classes, Dr. Battistella. And the one that I'm working on right now is through to the second round, and we should be finding out pretty soon.
Okay. And are you working on other grant applications at the moment?
Not at the moment.
Okay. How long did it take to work up the manual then to explain to other people how to go through the process?
The manual is still in the works. I'm doing that for my capstone, and I've got about 46 hours into it already, and it's still not finished.
46 hours out of a projected total of?
I'm going to say probably about 65.
Okay.
Right now I'm just kind of getting it. I have all the information. I'm compiling it. It's just really important for me to make it easy to read for someone who has no experience whatsoever. And that truly is the hardest part.
Hmm. So two-thirds of the way there anyway,
mm-hmm.
at least in time. All right. Phila Winfrey, what happens to classes at Southern Oregon University during the week of SOAR? I mean, do those go on as regular too, in addition to everything else?
In general, yes, classes do continue. A lot of professors work SOAR into their curriculum, especially for seniors doing capstones. It is either required as part of their class to present in SOAR, or perhaps it's an extra credit opportunity. Go find a presentation that relates to your curriculum and attend. We love it when professors encourage their students to attend classes and make it easy for them to do that. There's a lot of really great things to see, and we don't want to take students out of classes, but we also want the student body to be able to see what the rest of the students here at university are doing.
For the folks who are coming from off campus who are just curious because they think, well, you know, my tax dollars support Southern Oregon University, what are they doing over there? What's a good starter set of activities and places to go for people coming from off campus to SOAR?
Perhaps some of the live demonstrations. On Thursday, we have this really great demonstration by Lynn Ackler. He's a professor here, and he is demonstrating a system for, infrastructure security, showing live instances of when infrastructure might be under computer threat and how to sense that, and showing the kinds of work that we're doing here at SU that has real practical applications in the world beyond academia.
I don't know how long you've been attached to Southern Oregon University. You were a student yourself, right? You're an alum as well.
Yes. Okay. I graduated here in 2008, which was actually the very first year of SOAR, and I presented in that as a student and then got a job at the library here shortly after and then started working for SOAR.
I'm curious to know then, over those years, how SOAR might have changed, because when we talk about things like computer infrastructure security, these are not things that are like machines with big moving parts. And I just wonder if SOAR has gotten a little more like of the mind and of the computer screen since it got started.
Quite the opposite, I'd say. It has become much more undefinable, because it used to start off, you would have very straightforward types of ways that people could present in SOAR. You could do a panel, you could do a presentation, you could do performance. And then each year we're seeing more and more of these categories getting melded. So someone has a demonstration, but it's also a form of art, so they want to do an exhibition, but there's a performance piece to it, and it's all about something like computer science. And we're seeing a lot more of these projects that don't want to fit into a tidy category, and especially in terms of the discipline that they're coming out of. When I was a student and before that, the idea of interdisciplinary studies seemed kind of off the wall, and it was this little thing that people shoved to the side. But now it just seems like everybody is doing some form of interdisciplinary study, and you see that in SOAR, I think, better than any other time.
Which makes a lot of sense, interdisciplinary studies, because when you think about it, given how quickly, much more quickly, people change careers now than they used to, it seems like you'd probably want to get your feet wet in a couple of different areas, certainly while you're still in college.
Yes. I mean, even myself, in my own working role, I've discovered that you can't be just one thing. Everyone these days, you have to have many hats that you wear from second to second. And even as students, they are getting that. You can't just study one thing, because all these topics, they meld into each other.
All right. So for the folks who want to come from off of the Southern Oregon University campus and experience SOAR, and the folks in Eugene can relate to this as well, parking, where do people go to find from free parking so they can look at some of the offerings at SOAR?
Yes, free parking, of course. The best place to park is off Mountain Street. We have a nice large parking spot and free parking all week long for SOAR events.
All right. So there will be SOAR signs out directing people onto the campus of Southern Oregon University?
Yes.
All right, so SOAR is Southern Oregon Arts and Research, all next week on the campus of Southern Oregon University. Phila Winfrey, you just heard, is an outreach and support specialist at Southern Oregon University's Hannon Library. Mindy Nagel is a Southern Oregon University student graduating in June, taking a few more classes later on, doing some work with grant writing and displaying next week at SOAR. Mindy, thank you so much. Phila, thank you so much. Good to have you both here.
Thanks.